Well, open your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. The theme of the message is what endurance reveals about us. There are two levels of endurance. The first I'll just barely touch upon because it's not really the theme of the message. Endurance is a mark of good character. How well any of us endure adverse circumstances, financial reverses, a difficult work environment when we're where we're supposed to be, and maybe we have a difficult boss or difficult co-workers. How well a married couple endures the strains and inevitable difficulties found in any marriage relationship. How well somebody endures the bad circumstances that sometimes exist in good churches through carnal reactions, through anything the devil is always trying to do to turn a church on its head, if you will, and destroy the effectiveness of the ministry. A lot of people, when they find things like that, conflicts, stresses, unhappy circumstances, they just bolt. They just leave. They don't deal with them. They don't endure the good thing and the right thing when it becomes a troubled thing. Instead of sticking with it and solving the problems and making it better, they just take the coward's way out and they leave. That's not a mark of good character. But what I'm talking about today when I speak of endurance is what we're going to see from the scripture. It has to do with living the Christian life and reaching the end, the deathbed, without collapse of our faith. This is something more than just good human character. This is evidence of spirit-born believing faith. We're going to look at this from the scripture because many of us throughout our life at various times have had broken hearts when we've seen people in our churches or in our circle of friends or in this student body. Among our graduates, we see people who don't endure in their faith. Some already, while they sit here, know that they have no real believing, spirit-born faith. And it is inevitable that in a matter of days or weeks after leaving here, there is a total collapse. They have repudiated by their life, by their words, everything they said they ever believed. Some of you in the brief time at home may have repudiated everything you give testimony in your prayer groups or your societies to one another of believing. It's the history of the church. The Bible makes it very clear that it is not those who profess well or begin well that are really saved. It is those who end well with their faith intact and having grown their faith and having matured in their faith and having rejoiced in their faith all the days of their life, enter the Lord's presence with evidence that that which they professed was real. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul was rejoicing about the enduring faith of this remarkable church in northern Greece. Listen to what he said about them in verses 4 and 5. We ourselves glory in you in the churches of God. What is he saying? He said, I'm talking about you Thessalonian Christians everywhere I go. In all the other churches where I go, I brag about you. I brag for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. From a Bible point of view, endurance is evidence of the redeemed life. Paul is saying here, you've had a tough go of it. You're in this Gentile community full of gross immorality, gross idolatry and paganism everywhere, lifestyles that are completely incompatible with and contradictory to that which you believers in the Thessalonian church practice and profess. And you haven't let the opposition because of your Christian walk that you experience on a regular basis, you haven't let that turn you back. You're still strong, stronger than ever, and it's a good sign. You are enduring these oppositions, and that's a good sign that your faith is real. And he said the fact you are enduring these persecutions is evident token that God is a just God and that he's not going to forget what you are enduring. And you are enduring these horrible things because you're believers in Christ and you love Christ. And when God judges those who persecute you, it will be a righteous judgment. And you're going to be counted worthy to enter the kingdom of God. Not that you are worthy because you endured these things, but because you endured these things, it is evident that your faith is real and that you're worthy of an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God because of your faith in Christ that makes you worthy of that. Turn back, if you will, quickly to Matthew 13. You know the parable of the sower and the seed. And in verses 20 and 21, it says, he that received the seed, and the Bible tells us in that passage, the seed is the word. He that received the seed into stony places, that is, stony ground, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receives it. Yet he has not root in himself, but he endureth for a while. And when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. What does this describe? The word of God that fell into a little veneer of soil, enough soil that a little shoot of life, apparent life, could appear. But it had no root. Its root was in stone. And so when the heat, the adverse elements beat upon it, it withered. It didn't have roots that would allow it to survive. That describes some of you in this room and people that you know. The Word of God at some point fell into some very shallow soil. You. Very shallow soil. And for a little time, it seemed like you had life. You received that word, that seed, with joy, and your appearance was one of acceptance and agreement. The people described in this parable are those who maybe are intellectually curious about the Bible. And so they join with a Bible preaching group of people, a church or Christian college, and their study of the Bible is an intellectual one. They like to know things that they didn't know before. They're kind of like the people at Mars Hill when Paul preached, that they just love to tell and to hear some new thing. It was all academic, but they were there and they were enjoying it and they were participating in it from an academic point of view. There are people in good churches who enjoy a good sermon for that reason. Or maybe they enjoy some emotional music that makes them feel kind of funky and kind of excited and kind of amused and kind of transports them a little bit from the humdrum daily activities of their lives. Or maybe they join with that group just because they need a support group. They just are lonely people, or they just don't have a good family. Their family's dysfunctional, and they're kind of an outcast, and they don't find the roots that they're looking. And so they find some Christian people that are kind to them and show them courtesies and take them into their circle of friends and treat them really nice. And maybe they're not getting treated nice very many places. And so for a little while, they come and they enjoy all of this, but they have unredeemed hearts. Their hearts are stone. And what appears like an interest in the things of God and a participation in the things of God, it all disappears when they find out what the demands of the Christian life really are, and when they find out that not everybody's going to love them because they are a part of a Bible-believing assembly. And so what little evidence of life there was disappears when oppositions to their faith occur. They have trials of some kind, or they listen to the pulpit and it's preaching. They find out there are some demands upon my life, doctrinal demands upon my life. And because the life is not real and their roots are in stone and not in Christ, they say, I'm not hanging around here. I'm not going to endure this. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Not even God. God's rules are not for me. Well, you're not a believer. It's no wonder they're not for you. It's no wonder you feel that way about God's rules, God's doctrines, God's teaching, Scripture's truth. And a little ridicule comes and somebody laughs at you because you're in part of some fundamental separated church somewhere, and they bring shame upon you for that. And because you have no root in you in Christ, you don't endure. It's not surprising you don't endure. You're not rooted in the Savior. Christ said in Matthew 10:22 to his disciples, "You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." That's similar to what Paul said to the Thessalonian church that we read a while ago. He's not saying, the Savior was not saying to his disciples, you will be saved because of your perseverance. You'll be saved because of your endurance. No, he said the fact that you do endure in the face of persecution and ridicule and sound doctrine and high demands of the Scripture upon the believing life, the good soldier of Christ, because you respond to that, because you embrace that and let it embrace you, it is evidence that you are saved. You don't drop out. You don't disappear. You don't go away under persecution. But it brings evidence because you endure these things, because your roots are in Christ and He is real to you, and you draw your life from Him in whom you are rooted. It is evidence that when you endure that and continue in those things, your faith is real faith. Brian Kane is a graduate of BJU. He is a missionary in Cambodia. He and his wife, both graduates, and about a week ago, Brian was seriously ill at the point of death. He was rushed from Cambodia to a hospital in Bangkok where he could get some good treatment. And they thought he had dengue fever, extremely serious. And he was not responding, and he was pretty much comatose, and his fever was raging, and he hovered between life and death. His parents serve God here, Rich and Cheryl Kane, faithful, longtime, wonderful servants of God here. I called them the other night and said, you know, we're praying for Brian. Is there anything we can do? Can we help in any way? Do you need to go over there? Do you need to be at his bedside? Is there anything you can do to we'll help you get there? We'll do whatever we can. And Cheryl said, Rich was not available at the moment. She said, well, we're just waiting on God. There's nothing we can do now. His wife is at his side and some of his co-workers are there. But she said, let me tell you the big picture. She said, just a few days before he got ill, in this little village in Cambodia, this where they're animistic, where they are pagan worshipers of idols, 26 believers were baptized in this little village. And the next day, lightning struck one of the villagers. He didn't die, but it was the most serious injury to him. And the villagers said, oh, our gods are unhappy because of this baptism of these Christians. Our gods are unhappy because we have Christians in our midst. And so they bought an ox for $650 and they sacrificed this ox to appease the wrath of their pagan gods. And Brian got those 26 believers together because the villagers said everyone in this village has to pay his share of the cost of the ox. And he said to the new converts, you can't do that, can you? That's going to be offered to a false god. We as worshipers of the true and living God, we can't participate in worship that is offered to false gods. That would be a betrayal of our Savior, the one and only true God. And they said, no, we can't do that. We won't do that. And of course, the persecution came, and the ridicule, and the ostracism, and the threats, and everything else that went with it. But they said, no, we will not betray Christ. And very shortly after that, Brian got seriously ill and was at the point of death. But we just learned yesterday, all of us with joy, that in the last 2 days, suddenly, though they don't even know what it is that he had, the fever is gone, his strength is restored, he is on the mend, and he hopes to go back Friday to Cambodia. It's amazing what God must surely have in store for that village, for those believers who, just after the visible outward testimony of their faith in Christ, their baptism, now they were marked people. They were Christians. And immediately they faced persecution. And they endured the first test. None of them turned back from the first test. And we all pray and trust that it will be a lifelong of endurance for them as their faith is tested. You see, the real believer doesn't capitulate. He doesn't sell out. He doesn't walk away. When the testing comes, James in James 1:12 said, happy, blessed is the man who endures temptations. That means any test to the reality of our faith. Blessed and happy is the believer who resists any test to the reality of his faith. It may be a temptation to some besetting sin that we have. It may be a persecution. It may be an affliction of health. It may be a financial affliction. It may be a family affliction. It could take any shape. But blessed or happy is the man who endures that. You see, my friends, the ability to endure persecution and ridicule for the faith is based upon our confidence as redeemed people that the Lord will settle the score with all who bring the persecution against His beloved children. If we really believe that however hard that persecution is and painful that it is, and it does hurt, C.S. Lewis said, we know God will give us His best. We just don't know how painful His best might be. But we have the promises of God that however painful it is, God does not overlook the persecution. He does not overlook the persecutor of His people. And in Revelation 14:12, where it speaks about those who during the time of the Great Tribulation will be persecuted for not receiving the mark of the beast, and for those who refuse to worship the Antichrist during the tribulation time, the Scripture says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. What is He telling us? The same thing Paul told the Thessalonian church in 2 Thessalonians 1. You have suffered greatly for your faith, but there's going to be a righteous reward from God, a righteous judgment to those who brought the persecution upon you. God in His justice could not let that wrong be unaddressed. And there are many other such passages like this one in Revelation 14. God will settle the score with those who bring the persecution. But those who endure the persecution, the ridicule, the trial, the belittling, the loss of a good job, the loss of a reputation, as Joseph lost his reputation, though he had done nothing wrong with regard to Potiphar's wife, in the eyes of the public, he lost all of his reputation. And he didn't accuse God of injustice. He knew God meant it for good, and he was just going to do right in the sight of God. Will we? Or will we be among the ranks of those who grew up in a good Bible-preaching church and went to a Bible-believing college, but what appeared to be life produced by the seed of the Word was not real life because there was nothing but stone inside of us. Christ was not there, and the roots, therefore, could not be in Him, and there was nothing to keep us enduring when the testing came. There is no such thing as a genuine Christian life that doesn't get tested every day in some way. Will you be among those who endure because your faith is real, you're genuinely saved? Or will you just show by your lack of endurance you were not saved at all? It just wasn't real. What you wanted to appear to be real wasn't real. And the evidence of it appeared real soon. There are people who graduate from here in May, and by June, the evidence is quite clear. They weren't saved. Their faith wasn't real. It was all a facade. When they got out where they were tested in the workplace, made fun of because they were Christians, wouldn't live an ungodly life, wouldn't join the party scene, whatever was looking like faith for a little while just withered and was gone. Are you going to be one of those? Our Heavenly Father, help us understand what you're telling us in your word about the endurance of our faith in times of testing and ridicule and persecution and affliction, giving evidence of whether our faith is real or not. Lord, I thank you for those who will not turn against you in times of testing. And I pray you would search our hearts to see whether indeed we are in the faith. In Jesus' name, amen.